Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 13th perek of Sefer Menachem Aleph. It is quite a strange perek. There are a lot of things going on over here which are clearly symbolistic. There's a lot more going on in this perek than meets the surface. And actually, for me, this perek was really best explained by the Ralbag. So we're going to do a lot of the Ralbag as interpolating as we go through it. So here's what happens. In the meantime, we know that the north has split from the south. We've seen that Rehavam has been told not to take revenge, not to go back and wage war with the north. Now the camera shifts to the north. What's actually going on in the north? We're told that Yerovam is sitting on top of his Mizbeach. He is clearly sacrificing to Avodah Zarah. And an Ish Elohim, a man of God, is sent to him and gives him the following prophecy. He says the following. He turns to the altar and he says, Altar, altar, this is what God says. Hine vein nolad leveis David Yoshiyahu Shmoi. There's going to be somebody from a scion from the house of David who's going to arrive. His name is Yoshiyahu. He's going to sacrifice on this altar those Kohanim, those priests of your false altars, Amaktirim Olecho, Va'atzmois Odom Yisrufu Olecho. And they will burn the bones of man on this altar. And Hashem concludes his prophecy by saying that on that day the altar will split open and the ashes inside will spill out. What a shocking and very enigmatic prophecy. So Yerovam, who's sitting on top of this altar, gets upset by this intercession, and he reaches out his hand to grab this Ish Elohim, to grab this man of God, and his hand immediately either just loses all its ability or just freezes up or dries out, right? And he no longer can control his hand anymore. And as he does that, the altar splits and ash starts falling out, just like the prophet said. I mean, it's terrifying. This is clearly a supernatural by all accounts. There's no natural way to explain this. He turns to the Ish Elohim and he says, pray for the return of my hand. And the man prays for the return of his hand, and he regains the use of his hand. Then he says, look, why don't you come and stay with us, and I can offer you to please stay here a little bit and have a little bit to eat. And the man says, I'm sorry. God told me that I cannot eat, I cannot return this way, I cannot drink, I have to return. And off he goes. In the meantime, while this is all going on, as this man turns and leaves, he passes Beis El, and there's a Navi there, an old Navi, who lives in Beis El, and he hears about this story that's just happened. So immediately he saddles his donkey, and he runs off to this Ish Elohim, and he says, Ish Elohim, he says, why don't you come down and we'll eat together? And the Ish Elohim says, as he explained before, no, I was told not to return, not to eat, not to drink, nothing. And this Navi says, no, don't worry, I'm a Navi like you, we're brothers. And Hashem told me, a Malach told me, that you really can eat. No worry, it was changed. And the Tanakh tells us, stepping out of the narrator, narrating, that this man was lying to him. So he says, well, the Ish Elohim says, well, it must be if Hashem told you that he's changed his mind. Okay, so he goes off and he eats. And while they're eating, Hashem sends a prophecy. It's not clear if he's sending a prophecy to the Navi, to the Ish Elohim directly, or to a third Navi to give it to the Ish Elohim. But basically Hashem says to him, because you rebelled against Hashem, you didn't keep the mitzvah to return, your corpse will never reach the burial ground of your fathers. Okay, so off he sets, he goes back, he starts moving southwards to Yehuda, and on the way he is attacked by a lion, and the lion ravages him, and leaves his corpse lying on the road. This is the Ish Elohim who gave the prophecy to Yerovam, and stands there next to the donkey, not touching the donkey. In the meantime, this prophet who'd really caused him to delay and caused him to eat, hears about this, runs up there and sees this lion standing next to the donkey and the corpse of the poor Ish Elohim lying on the ground. So he quickly takes the body, brings it back to Beis El, and he goes and he eulogizes him and he places and he buries him, and he says, "Hoi achi, woe, my brother." And he requests that he should be buried, this Navi should be buried by the bones of this Navi, or of the Ish Elohim. And that's the end of that particular story. The perek closes with the fact that Yerovam, After all of these things, Yerovam did not return. He continues to educate prophets to him who serve Avodah Zarah. And Hashem gets exceedingly upset with Yerovam to destroy him from this earth. So this is the end of this parak, a very strange parak on all accounts. Let's try to unwrap some of the symbolism that's going on in this by a few questions. First of all, who is this Navi, this Ishalakim, who's this person of God? So that the Mefarshim will say this is a person by the name of Ido HaNavi. It's by matching Psukim and Dirayim. Okay. And why is Yeshayahu brought into the prophecy? Meaning, why is it that he brings Yeshayahu into the prophecy about Yerovam? Yeshayahu is going to live in decades and decades in the future. Why is he brought in over here? So the Malbim says, well, simply because Yeshayahu is going to burn the bones of Yerovam. Meaning, it's going to affect Yerovam when Yeshayahu comes. So he's saying, how completely undone you're going to be, Yerovam, because of what you're doing. The Chidah adds an extra level of depth over here, which is, why is it that Yoshiyahu is brought into this whole description? It says because this is really the future, or in the time when Yoshiyahu will be king, he will bring back all of Israel together. Even some of the lost tribes will be brought back at that time, according to Chazal. And there'll be a unification of the kingdom. Meaning, this is almost like it's unraveling the prophecy of Achia HaShiloni, who told Yerovam that you had power, you had mandate over the northern kingdom. Well, don't worry, that's been taken away from you because Yoshiyahu is going to now bring it back because clearly you're not the right ruler. That's what seems to be expressed to him in the symbolism of Yoshiyahu. Why is it that the Mizbeach is being broken and the bones are being burnt? What's going on over here? So it sounds like that all of the service that you're doing, Yerovam, is going to be broken. Everything you represent is going to be rejected by God because of the way you're doing it. It is also interesting that Rashi points out here that when he stretches out his arm to grab the prophet or the Ish Elohim, what ends up happening is his own arm dries up. So it seems that Hashem is willing to intercede on behalf of the prophet, on behalf of this Ish Elohim, more than Hashem is willing to intercede on behalf of his own kavod. Hashem, after all, is being insulted by Yerovam's sacrificing to Avodah Zarah. Hashem does not do anything miraculous about that, but he does when protecting the Navi, just to give you a sense of priorities here, in which how deeply Hashem cares about this prophet. Why would Hashem not allow this Navi to eat in any city? Meaning, like, what's so special about not eating wherever he goes? So the Radak says simply not to give credence to a city of Avodah Zarah. You don't go to a city of Avodah Zarah and eat there, because that gives even credence and gravity to it. Don't eat with Yerovam, because you're giving credence to him. The Rabbag points out even more than that, that maybe what's going on over here is he's showing him, don't let anybody think that there is a conflict of interest over here. Maybe the reason why you came over here to give this warning is because you wanted a good meal, you wanted to get some sort of support, you wanted a pension. No, none of that's happening over here. There's no conflict of interest. It's simply to deliver a message and to return. There's a lot of possibilities as to who this Navi is, this false Navi, this false prophet who causes the death of the Ish Elohim. Some people say it's Michayahu, some say it's Yonatan ben Gershom, his lackey. But anyway, there's a lot of options as to who this is and what his motives are. Very complex motives as to why he's doing this. Why is he trying to bring him back? nonetheless, it is interesting, the Ralbag points out something very important over here, and that is if you think about who's the greatest culprit in this perek, probably Yerovam. Second, probably the Navi Sheker. Who's the least culpable person is the Ish Elohim, by misunderstanding that he wasn't told to be good to go back. But it's interesting that he's the one who got punished in this perek. And this shows you, in a certain sense, something which is interesting. And that is that Hashem is more willing to take exacting judgment on the southern kingdom, on Rechavam and on his people, than on the northern kingdom immediately at this point in time. But there's more love when it comes to the south than there is to the north. That means to say, love is sometimes expressed in more exactitude. And this Navi is getting treated very, 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 this Ish Elohim is being treated with great exactitude. He's being killed for a very small infringement, whereas the North is being left, which is in a certain sense a sign of more of abandonment than the person from the South, just as an interesting point over here. It's clear, by the way, that he dies, the fact that he's killed by this lion, that this is a supernatural death, meaning the lion is not killing him because the lion was hungry, because the lion is standing next to the donkey very peacefully. It is a sign that it was supposed to, as the Ralbag points out, instill fear and trembling into the heart of Yerovam. Look at this. This man who simply ate or misunderstood the rules of eating gets killed in such a way. And wait for you. Remember what he said about you and about your bones being burnt? Think about that. But still, Yerovam doesn't listen. That's what seems to be done over here. One thing which has always struck me as strange What in the world is this Navi Shekhar doing? Here he goes as a hero and he picks up the bones on the donkey and he goes back to it and he buries him and I should be buried with him. What in the world is going on over here? So the Ralbag says very simply, this man has got one interest and one interest alone, and that is self-interest. And he knows that the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the Avodah Zarah are going to have their bones burnt in the future. So what's he doing? He's taking an insurance policy. If I bury myself with this man when I die, then my bones won't be burnt. That's how decrepit it goes in. Finally, just last point to close this parak, because this is really an intense parak, is why is it? Why would the Yeravam not give in after all this? So Chazal in Sanhedrin point out that the intensity of his stubbornness comes from jealousy. The Gemara describes this in the terms that Chazal say that Hashem said to Yeravam, if you just return, if you just do tshuva, you will work with me in Gan Eden with David. I mean, can you imagine he's bringing you a ticket back? This is the moment he could have, and this is this parak where it's offered. And he says, Yeravam's response is, "Who mi yelech barosh? Who's going to be at the head of the procession?" Now Hashem says, David. And Yeravam said, no way. Yeravam was not prepared to go back, not prepared to take the tshuva ticket, because he did not have the head. That's where the confusion between his mission and what he really wanted was confused. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.